Thank you. So, let's begin with a meditation. Closing your eyes. Just resting within. Allowing your breathing to be natural. Just sensing the in-breath and the out-breath without controlling anything. Becoming aware of the rise and fall of the chest. Just like the tide of the ocean. And then becoming aware of the very center of the chest, as if there was a tiny bud here. Yeah, this is the energetic heart center. Just a tiny bud with its petals curled over. And then with each in-breath and with each out-breath, it's as if these petals gently start to uncurl, start to unfurl very gently. With each in-breath, a petal unfurls, and with each out-breath, a soft emanation of light. So it's this tiny bud at the center of the heart is opening like a flower in the sun. And as it opens, there's a gentle light that emanates. The fragrance of openness, the fragrance of love, the fragrance of stillness. And this fragrance, this light, fills the whole of your chest. Front, back, sides, reaching through the body into your shoulders, down your arms, into your fingers, up through the neck, into the head, and then down through the spine, into the abdomen, through the hips, the legs and the feet, the whole of you. It's immersed in this light, this fragrance emanating from the very center of your heart. Each in-breath and each out-breath. Radiating out to the space around you. Touching and including the people around you. The objects around you. This space. This church. This community. And out beyond. In breath and out breath. Fragrance of this flower at the center of your heart. in-breath and out-breath radiates out stillness, quietness, love and light. Into the town, into the city, including all the people, all the streets, all the creatures, the trees, the sky, and the land. The whole of this, included and touched and held in the open heart. And resting as this openness. And then gently, still the breath is coming and going, rising and falling. And now gently, bringing it all back into the heart center. Everything is included. Bring it in, bring it in, bring it in. Inside your body, inside your chest, to this still point right in the center. Okay, so gentle in-breath and out-breath, conscious in-breath, conscious out-breath, and slowly opening your eyes. Okay, so I'm talking about the power of forgiveness. Yeah, forgiveness at the heart of the Christ-light teachings, and so relevant to our times, to the world that we live in, a world of increasing division, increasing polarization, increasing violence, and increasing confusion. As if the division within, yeah, the divided state of unconscious humanity is being reflected very clearly now in the world that we see. The world is always a reflection of our inner state of being collectively. Yeah? So, speaking of forgiveness is very timely. like all truth, when it's handed down through generations, through eons, through time, and through intermediaries, it gets ossified. Yeah, it gets distorted. Yeah, it loses the vibrancy and the essence of its original truth. And forgiveness is also, yeah, one of these truths that has lost its true power and its true meaning, at least to some degree. Very often we think that forgiveness is something that we do, an action that we take, an action like writing a letter of forgiveness to somebody we may have hurt in the past, or somebody who has hurt us in the past. We think that it's something that we do in terms of saying sorry or saying, I forgive you, it's okay, we can forget it now. Some kind of action, even the turning of the other cheek is taken to be an action. That's because the human state, the conventional human paradigm, takes ownership of everything in terms of action, in terms of doing, rather than recognizing the deeper beingness of everything. So let's examine forgiveness from this point of view. Forgiveness is an inner action, not an outer action. What does that mean? It's not about letting somebody off the hook. It's not about condoning a harmful action, or justifying it, or forgetting it, brushing it away and saying it's okay now. It's not a matter of one person being in a position of superiority, moral, righteous superiority, to forgive another. Neither is it being totally passive, totally submissive, and being a doormat for another, and just lying down and say, yes, walk all over me. I'm so powerful, I'm so godlike, I'm so loving that I can forgive you. It's something more subtle than that. It's an inner action because it requires us to let go of all grievances. It invites us, the situation that calls for forgiveness invites us to turn towards the tenderness of the heart in the midst of that which offends us. That's very different to being submissive. There's no one-upmanship or one-down-manship in this, yeah? One person is not higher or lower than the other. To turn towards the tenderness of the heart is to meet suffering consciously. Yeah? Meet the pain of what has happened. Yeah? Or what is happening consciously. And to open wider than that. To open wider than that suffering. What does that mean? Yeah, because to open wider than the suffering is different to meeting the suffering, yes, acknowledging the pain, feeling the pain, and then it stops there. It's going beyond that. Yeah, to meet suffering, yeah, and to stop right there means that something deeper has not been resolved. To meet suffering consciously and to open wider than that, that opening, yeah, that invitation to open wider than the suffering is beyond anything the mind can understand. It's beyond what we want to do or what we imagine we can do. Essentially, it means to go beyond the victim identity. As long as we hold on to even the most subtle sense of it shouldn't have happened, because that's what the victim identity is. It shouldn't have happened. We can acknowledge that it hurt. We can acknowledge that it was harmful. We can acknowledge that it was agony. But that little grievance of it shouldn't have happened keeps us locked into the victim identity. And as long as there's a victim identity, then any attempt to forgive either comes from a sense of poor me or comes from a sense of I am powerful and therefore I can rise above this. Neither of those are the truth of who you are. They're ego identities, subtle ego identities. So to truly forgive is not an external action, but it's an internal action in which we are required to die to all identities. If you like, this is an awakening out of the sense of self, the awakening out of the sense of me as this or that. Yeah. The awakening out of the dream state of separation. Forgiveness is the end of all stories, the end of poor me, the end of the victim. And even trauma, yeah, very often we live in a society today where trauma has become both unearthed, yeah, collective trauma, ancestral trauma, personal trauma. It's certainly a conversation that is very current, but it's also become a buzzword and often an excuse, a hiding place for the poor me or the angry me, which arises out of the poor me, and so on. So it just perpetuates that inner state of division. So what I'm saying here is that even trauma, yeah, can be met fully in the now, not as a memory of the past, but met in its depth. We can choose to sit inside it, to feel the agony of it, to have the heart broken open, to be offended by it, and still turn towards the tenderness of the heart. Tenderness of the heart is infinite. It's an infinite depth. It's not another story, another narrative, another overlay that says, well, it wasn't so bad, so I can let it go, I can forgive you. Nor does it say, well, it was really bad, but I'm going to choose to forget it now and let it go. It has no narrative in it. The tenderness of the heart is open. Just this broken openness. And in this broken openness, we discover that which is unbroken. There's a beautiful story from World War II, I can't remember his exact name, somebody Lomax, who was tortured by the Japanese. And it was a brutal torture, very brutal torture. And for years he was traumatized by this. And for years he held on to grief, resentment, revenge, yeah, the pain that it caused him for years, the suffering that it caused him for years, the memory of that brutality that still lived on now. And of course, it was intense, so it couldn't be glossed over. And so he sought revenge many years later. I can't remember, was it 20 years later or something, 30 even? He was becoming an old man. And so he vowed revenge and he went back to seek his tormentor. He remembers the man. And after much looking, much research, much travel, he finds him. He finds the man, the prison, the one who imprisoned him, the one who tortured him. He finds him and he has some, menial job, job at a desk, signing papers or whatever he was doing. Obviously his life has changed and he's moved on. But Lomax finds him and he reminds him. He sits in front of him and he reminds him of the torture that he was put through and how it's impacted his life. And he's come with a heart full of revenge. And as he pours his heart out, sitting in front of this man, telling him everything, how it's affected him, how it's impacted his life, his relationships, the way he sees things, something starts to happen. Tears come. Tears come. And something is cleansed. In pouring his heart out, in feeling all the feelings, in inviting everything into the now, into the openness, in being naked and honest in front of this man that he was so scared of, something was transformed. And just in that, a great tenderness arose. He saw in the other, he saw in the one who tortured him, a human being also caught up in the beliefs, in the actions, in the illusions of the time that he lived in. And he saw in himself the inhumanity that he brought in wanting revenge. So he saw the humanity in the one who tortured him, and he saw the inhumanity in himself in seeking him out and wanting to kill him or torture him or whatever it was. And in that, it ended. And a great friendship arose, a great tenderness, a great friendship. So that's a beautiful story that touches the core of forgiveness. Yeah, first we have to feel everything. It's the not feeling it and the holding on to the narratives about it that doesn't allow the tenderness of the heart. Once that tenderness is touched, then it's resolved. All grievances are let go of naturally. And then we don't need to forgive the other. There is only one being. There is no more another. Yeah, there's no more a separation. There is only the truth and the love that arises in the moment, in the now. And that is forgiveness. It's incredibly potent. It's more powerful than any action. So there's a great invitation in that, in how we meet ourselves, because very often we hold a grievance against ourselves. Yeah. So how we meet ourselves, how we meet each other, and how we meet the world. It doesn't make us, I say it again, passive. We don't just lie down and give up. There is no resignation in this. What happens is that out of that tenderness comes right action. Yeah? If a situation demands an action, then it happens naturally, but not out of vengeance, not out of opposition, not out of division, not out of self-righteousness, not out of I am right and you are wrong. I am good and you are bad. Yeah? We stop fighting the imaginary enemy. We start seeing deeper than that. and then what needs to be done is done. So this is the power of forgiveness. That's my invitation. And the invitation of the times we live in. I see it as a catalyst. Yeah? I see it not as a punishment that humanity has gone wrong, but as a catalyst for a deeper opening, for a deeper being, for a deeper seeing. And we start from where we are. We start with ourselves so that it starts to radiate outwards into our environment, into our world, one person at a time. Namaste.